Bible, I'm going to be in the little letter of 1 John, which is toward the back of your Bible. 1 John is, fifth to the last book of your Bible. One of the announcements was for tomorrow evening, a Manly Monday. Guys, you got to be there. It's going to be a really cool evening. It always is. The food will be actually pretty good, really healthy. It's going to be nachos and cheese. We're going to be talking about the importance of male relationships, which is, I think, is going to be a really, it's 1 hour. So you get out in time for Monday Night Football. And it's a really, really good time of friendship, communication. And we will talk a little bit about the importance of male friendships and relationships. And you'll get to meet a friend of mine who's coming. We've been friends, for probably 25 years or so. And we're going to chat a little bit about our friendship. So that's tomorrow night. I hope you come. Friday, Sue and I went to the Vincent van Gogh. It was a multimedia presentation in Cleveland. Have you heard about it? It's actually pretty cool. It was in this warehouse that you go in, and it's bigger than life. All on all four walls, you see all of the paintings of Van Gogh set to really cool classical music. It was a great experience. You ought to go if you can. Really expensive, though. Be careful of that. And of course, the one painting that, as you know, is my favorite, which in many ways is our mission statement, which was Starry Night. Of course, that was into Van Gogh before it was cool to be into Van Gogh. On the wall, the multimedia thing, that church without its lights on, they covered the whole wall, and you just got to see it. And that's why we have it even in our gathering space. In a dark society, the church needs to keep its lights on. Of course, that's a metaphor, but yes, we do. That's our mission, to make the real Jesus unignorable to our neighbors in Lake County and throughout the world. To make the real key is the word, the real Jesus, to make the real Jesus unignorable. We're in a series through 1 John. We've been calling it One Word, where I've tried to identify one word each week that we can hang our hat on. Here's the word for today. Counterfeits. Counterfeits, like a fake money or a fake Gucci bag, if you've got that, right? A friend of mine went to New York City several years ago, and he came back and he was all excited to show me because he knows how much I love watches. And he came back and he showed me this really beautiful big Rolex watch. And I thought, that's awesome, Todd. Look at that watch. Look at it. Wow. And then you look at it more carefully, and it's a Folex. It's like, come on. Counterfeits. That's our word for today. Counterfeits. Do you know of any counterfeits? I identified some. Some of these, what got me thinking about this, I go to India quite often, as you know, and the Indians at times like to have counterfeit of American things. And so many of these are from India. A couple of them are from China, but I thought I'd show you these. So there's some really good cookies. Boreo cookie. You can't afford Nike shoes. I bet you could have Mikey shoes. That'd be really good. And, you know, Starbucks is overrated. But you can go to Stars and Bucks Cafe. And Game Boy, you know, Game Boy's a little sexist. We need Game Child that covers everybody. And then, of course, you would be reticent to not have the superhero Special Man. Counterfeits. You know what they are. When we desire, or when we need something so strongly, you know, it's really easy, it's really common to be fooled or to be willing to take a lesser or inauthentic alternative. Yeah, we do it all the time. Our bodies need fuel. And so what do? We go into the closet and we grab potato chips or some sort of a counterfeit fuel for our bodies. We do it so often. You know, at times I think we do counterfeit learning. So instead of actually reading important works and books and growing our mind, we just read the nonsense that's on social media or whatever. You read something in three sentences and you become an expert in something. That's counterfeit learning. A real problem in our society today is pornography. And all pornography is counterfeit intimacy. It's so easy to grab those things. Well, what about spiritual counterfeits? There's so many voices supposedly speaking for God. There's so many movements and ideas and issues that claim to be Christ-like or Christianity 2.0. So believable. There have been so many false messiahs, so many weird ideas about Christianity, some legit and some just not legit. And unlike the Folex, the counterfeit Christianities and the counterfeit Christ are lethal. They're really dangerous. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. And so we're in 1 John, and 2,000 years ago, he writes of the counterfeits to be careful of. Here's an old guy, late in his 90s, it's in the 90s now, and he is writing to his beloved spiritual children. He was a good friend of Jesus's. And he writes a really clear warning that's practical, that's clear, where he tells them, be careful of counterfeits. And even gives us a test. I'm going to say there's sort of three elements of this test. A test to know if something's counterfeit spiritually or not. I want you to hear the passage, and then we're just sort of going to walk our way through it. 1 John chapter 4, be careful of counterfeits. Here's what he says. Dear friends, don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see if they're from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You're from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are sons to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God doesn't listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. Word of the Lord. So let's just walk through this a little bit with the idea that there's a whole lot of Boreo Christs in our world. And it is really easy for any number of reasons to grab the Boreo instead of the Oreo. And we're going to walk through that now. First, it just starts with the dire warning. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Dear friends, don't believe every spirit. What's he saying there? Well, the word spirit, you know this, but in Greek, the word spirit is pneuma, and it can mean anything from breath, which is why we have the word pneumonia. Your lungs are having trouble breathing. It means breath. It can mean wind, and it can mean invisible spirits, whether good or evil. And in many ways, we could apply all of that to this. In the group I'm with on Thursday morning, we looked at this passage a little bit. One of the members of our group, before he was a follower of Christ, was involved in all kinds of occultic activity. And so he talks about the pneuma, the spirits that he's experienced in his younger days, apparitions that he saw and the evil that was oppressing his very spirit, his very self. There's that. But it's also the wind. It's also what's ever blowing in the wind. And in many ways, it's sort of a caution. Apply all of this. Be careful. Check out anything that's a current fad, anything that's blowing your way, anything that's sort of the in thing spiritually. It can come from, and all of it can be careful of that. And we need to hear that because it's a timeless problem. It was true in the first century of John's day. It's true today as well. In John's day, there were those that came in the church that because of their Greek philosophy were saying, you know what? The body is not a good thing. It's the spirit that's important. Material is not good. And so there's no way that God's Messiah had a body. He only seemed to have a body. Things of the body are not right. There was no incarnation of Christ. It was just a spirit. And that's why John starts this letter and says, oh, by the way, the one whom we touched with our hands, we saw with our eyes, we heard with our ears. In other words, he's saying Christ really did have a body. And he's correcting them. Getting Jesus wrong has been around for 2,000 years. And it can be from the pit of hell, an evil spirit, or it can just be the blowing of the wind or the latest fad. Be careful of that. And it's vital for us to hear because at times we can become gullible. Can I say that? We can. Partly because we're so needy. I know of a young lady a number of years ago. She was an unchurched young lady, and she was watching her family fall apart. Her mom and dad were getting a divorce. And she knew she needed some comfort. And so she visited several of the local churches nearby. They were evangelical churches. And as churches often are, they were sort of busy with their own programs. They were busy with their own body life. And so they really had no time for her. She went to one, nothing, went to the other, nothing, went to the other, nothing. Finally, she found this other church and she went to that. And the Mormons embraced her with love. This was many years ago. Now she's a devout Mormon with many, many children. I find it really interesting as I tell that story that in what he's talking about. Right before this, at the end of chapter 3, he talks about the one who keeps God's commandment remains in him. And this is his commandment, that we love one another. He's talking about love. And then he pauses to talk about counterfeits. And then he begins it again. This is what we'll do next week in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And so it's this whole context of love. And right in the middle of it, he puts this section about counterfeits. Why? I think partly because the counterfeits would love to love you. And if we're not careful, we would love to love the counterfeits because it's easier. I'll just eat a Boreo, right? Or put on a pair of Mikeys. That's the dire warning. Be careful of that. Heed the warning because we all could be susceptible. You might say, well, no, not me. I'll be okay about this. Heed the warning. A couple of years ago, Sue and I were headed to North Carolina. Vacation with our kids. And every year the kids fly to North Carolina, Wilmington, and we drive. But because we have to take a lot of groceries and stuff, because we're on this little island that really doesn't have a grocery store, it doesn't even have cars on it. It's very cool. All they have is what we call the stop and rob, where peanut butter is like 20 bucks. So we bring all of our own groceries just to save some money. But to spend our money, we rent a car. So this one year, we rented a huge SUV. I needed a trucker's license for it. It was one of those, I think it's a Nissan. It's the Armada. You know, I'm looking for the air horn. You know, kids driving by me are doing this because they want me to do it. We're driving home. And Sue and I decide on the way home, Let's just plow through. Let's not stay at a hotel. Let's just plow through. So we're driving home, North Carolina to Ohio, and now it's the middle of the night. Sue's fast asleep. I'm on the West Virginia Turnpike, driving my Mack truck. I don't know how fast I was going, but it's late and I'm a little tired. And all of a sudden on my dashboard comes the sign, driver attention low. Driver attention low. And I'm thinking, shut up. What are you talking about? Leave me alone. So I'm driving some more. And all of a sudden, my steering wheel starts vibrating. And now on the dashboard, it says, time for a break. Time for a break. Since when does my car nag me? Obviously, it was sensing the driver was a little sleepy or maybe veering off the, I don't know, maybe I was, maybe veering out of the lane a little bit. It never came, but I was wondering if the next sign was going to be, get off the road, you nut. But it never came. It was telling me to heed the warning that I was headed for trouble. Slow down. Pay attention. I didn't, made it home. That's what John is telling us. Whether it's 90 AD or 2021 AD, he's saying, heed the warnings. Slow down. Watch yourself before we get into trouble. Before we cling to the new fad, before we think, oh, that guy must be Christian, or this movement sure sounds like it's legit evangelicalism, be careful of those things. Before we give our money to something, maybe you're visiting Trinity for the first time, before you become a member of Trinity, a test. Test. This is the doctrinal test. This is how you know. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. What's the subject of the test? It's Jesus. Sure, we know all about tests, don't we? Especially in this day and age. By the way, I'm 0 for 3. COVID tests, that is. I'm 0 for 3. Three times now in the last year, I've had some symptoms, and because I'm with you guys so much, and I want to make sure I'm not giving you anything, I'm going and getting that test. I could be a catcher for the Indians. I'm 0 for 3. But, sorry, that wasn't fair. But we know about tests, so let's take a test to see if this movement, to see if this spiritual thing is legit. What are we looking for? We're looking for the real Jesus, the biblical, the historical, the same Jesus that John says, I saw him with my eyes, I heard him with my ears, I held him with my hands, and he could even say, and I saw him resurrect from the dead on the third day. Jesus is the true north. Jesus is our plumb line. Jesus is the reference point. Hear that. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Now notice what he says. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh. That's what was important that day. Theologically, it's the word the incarnation, that the eternal divine Son of God took on human flesh just like us so that he could be the Savior of the world by going on that thing. As someone in the flesh, that death could have eternal significance. Any teaching, any movement must be connected to that. Now, we've all had those people come and knock on our door. Hello, from the Watchtower Society. But it doesn't have to be a 19th century cult to get that wrong. Here's how they get it wrong. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Oh, it's certainly. Isn't it interesting that every Christian, I'll call them Christian sect, cult, this is where they get it wrong. But it's also the historical search for Jesus. Or your son or daughter goes to college, and now all of a sudden, whether it's sociology class or philosophy class, where are they going to attack Christianity? At its source. Let's find out if the historical Jesus is really, really real. And the question has got to be, tell me what you believe about Jesus. And the fellow that does come to your front door will have the canned answer, but get them to talk about who is the real Jesus. I had a guy come to my, I was mowing the grass. I don't like mowing grass, by the way. I'm a little allergic to grass, and there's many other things I'd rather do. But there I am. So when I used to mow my lawn, I was always in a bad mood. So it's just stay away from Paul when he's mowing his grass. So I'm mowing my grass, and I'm getting the bag, and I'm about to put it in the wheelbarrow because I don't like grass on my cut grass on my lawn. And it's hot, I'm cranky, and I'm mowing my grass. And all of a sudden, there's a shadow on my lawn. I look up, and there's a guy. "Hello, sir," he says. "I wonder if you'd like to talk today, Cranky Paul." So I said, "Which name would you like to talk about?" "Oh, there's only one name." I said, "No, there's a whole bunch of names of God. Jesus being the final one." "Oh, no, Jesus is not one of the—" "Oh, as a matter of fact, it is." "No, there's a bunch of names of God," I said. "No, there's only one name," he said. "It's the name Jehovah." I said, "No, you're wrong, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, Jehovah is not even his name. His name is Yahweh. And the name Jehovah came in the 18th century when an Italian Jew decided that that name was way too holy to say. And so he took the vowels of Adonai and applied them to the consonants of Yahweh. And he came with Jehovah. So if you want to talk about Yahweh? Do you want to talk about Adonai? Do you want to talk about Jesus? Tell me which name you want to talk about." You could hear my love coming out to you. To which he said, "Sir, I can see you're way too busy. I'll come back at another time." Don't do that. That's where they always get it wrong. It's Jesus. But it's not always a 19th century cult. And it's not always a sociology professor in college. It'd be easy for any one of us to get it wrong. When we turn Jesus into the legalistic Jesus, when now all of a sudden Jesus is all about keeping a bunch of rules, and all of the rules, it's what it is, it's a counterfeit holiness. Right? Jesus said, "Paid in full," and I keep trying to pay it. No, no. Or it could be the cheap grace Jesus, the Jesus who said, "Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me." Or who looked at the woman caught in adultery and said, "Go and sin no more. But I've got the going to heaven box. I'm free." That's counter freedom. Or it could be the social justice Jesus, where I turn Jesus just into a bunch of issues, whether it's poverty or abortion or racism or sexuality. And Jesus now is not a person anymore. It's just a bunch of issues. Be careful of that too. Those issues are really, really important, but they're important because the virtue from which they come stems from the cross. Or it could be the nationalism Jesus, where it's the heresy that I blend my nationalism here in the United States, my Americanism with my Christianity, and there's no difference between the two. That's dangerous too. So you got people with a cross storming the Capitol building on January 6th. Be careful of that too. Both of those things, the social justice Jesus and the nationalism Jesus, it's just a fake kingdom. There's no cross. There's no king. Oh, it's easy. It's easy to have the wrong Jesus. And that's why he says, be really, really careful of that. Turn on the TV and you're going to hear the prosperity Jesus over and over again. It's the idol of health and wealth, where Jesus just becomes a lottery ticket. Buy the lottery ticket and you're sure to win. That's his warning. Make sure it's the real Jesus, who transcends nations, who transcends culture, who transcends generations. And he transcends it because he is bringing the shalom, the peace of God's kingdom to his people right now. And eventually will return one day to restore it all. Be careful of that. Be careful of counterfeits. They're everywhere. And you know the old story of the people that work for the treasury, the way they identify a counterfeit is that they touch the real bills over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. They're so, once they're adept at the real ones, give them a fake one, they'll see it right away. When you experience the real Christ over and over and over again, you'll know the fake one just like that. I told you a couple weeks ago, Charlie Chaplin, one of my favorite actors, he joined a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest. And he lost, came in second. Here's the test. Tell me about Jesus. That's fact. There's a faith side of that test too that I want you to see. I'm looking at my time because this is really important. Every spirit that confesses, I want to stay with that word just for a moment, that confesses Christ. So in other words, it's more than just acknowledging the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, came in the flesh. Yes, that's important. But that person also, every spirit that doesn't confess, that is so important as well. Not to just acknowledge it as a fact, but to trust it, to live by it. So you're visiting Trinity today. You've heard me say, I believe in Jesus Christ, divine Son of God, came in the flesh, died for the sins. Got the fact right. Watch my life. And if I'm a phony, if I've not accepted the Lordship of Christ personally, get out of here. Leave now. That is so important. There was a book written around 100 AD called the Didache. Didache just means the teachings. The longer title of the book was The Didache of the Twelve. It was written around 100 AD. And basically what it was an understanding of first century Christians had regarding the application of the New Testament to church life, first century church life. It's really important. And they, Didache number 11 and 12, not everyone who speaks in a spirit is a prophet. Okay? Just because somebody has a cross around their neck or carrying a Bible or claiming that they're Jesus, not necessarily as a prophet, as we've already said that. Secondly, this is the next line. He is only a prophet if he walks in the way of the Lord. Do you hear that? That is so important. The test of the Christian leader, of the Christian teacher, is not only right information, it's got to be a right walk with God. It's not just a head test. That's important. It's got to be a heart test as well. If my heart is not confessing Jesus as Lord, and it's not a reflection of my life, leave. Or kick me out. That is so important. Every spirit that confesses Jesus has come in the flesh, confesses is more than just believe. It's confessing. It's part of my confession. It's part of my life. And every spirit that doesn't confess Jesus is not from God. Know that. Which is why so often the powerful Christian leaders, especially of America, drop like flies. Whether it's adultery or the sin of today is bullying. They're leading like the worst CEOs in the world, and they're dropping like flies. Why? They've got their head right. They don't have their heart right. And they're believing their own press releases about how important they are. Be careful of that. Okay, I will say it's really easy. It's really easy to make the mistake and to settle for a confident, for a counterfeit. There it is. They're so popular and they're so false. Listen to what he says. They are from the world. These are the false teachers. Notice their citizenship. They're from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world. That's their source. And the world listens to them. In other words, they're very relevant. They speak the language of the world. They deal with the issues of the world. And yes, yes, I have to hear that. Problem is that their source isn't the scriptures and their reference point isn't Christ. Now notice, this is really important. This text isn't saying, and I'm not saying that the church or us as Christians or Christian leaders should be irrelevant or inarticulate or not understand the social issues of the day. We have to be. I think we need to be quite informed and we need to be quite relevant. The key is, what's our reference point? Poverty is huge. Racism is huge. And to not address those things, I think, is to be blind. And to call sin, sin is important. But ultimately, to say the ultimate solution of the social ills of our day, the government may or may not help, there's your solution, is the brokenness of man. We have to be informed, but our reference point, our lens, has to be Christ, his ethic, his kingdom, his cross, which is why if I get stuck on social issues or if I get stuck on nationalism, I'm barking up the wrong tree. That's why it's so easy to get fooled, because the issues of today are so relevant, but the source and the solution is so wrong. I call this the historic test. First test was fact. Do I believe in the incarnation of the divine Son of God? Jesus came in the flesh. The second is the faith test. Is the person that I want to give money to, is the person that I'm following, do they confess it? Is it a faith test? Is Christ the Lord of their life? Third one, I'll call it a historic test. And this is so important. I'm watching my time. Here's what he says. We, that is a really important word. We, who does he mean by we? He's been saying you this whole text. Now all of a sudden it's we. The we is him and his band of apostles next to him, his teaching cohorts. It's the we of apostolic authority. Here's what he says. We are from God. You guys are confused? The counterfeits from the real thing, he's saying? We're from God. How do we know that? Anyone who knows God listens to us. He speaks and writes with the authority of Christ. He was the one commissioned by Christ. He was the one ordained by Christ. He was the one that was affirmed even by the church. And so what he's saying is the teachings of Christ is continuing through the apostolic teaching of Jesus, of Paul, of John, of Peter. He says, we are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who's not from God doesn't listen to us. They're going to invent their own stuff. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Christians and denominations will differ on secondary things. It's okay. But the primary thing, who is Christ? What do we believe about him? It's got to be the consistent historic belief, starting with Jesus, continuing throughout our New Testament and for 2,000 years, which is why on occasion here in church, we cite the Apostles' Creed. We cite the Nicene Creed to say we're not some new flesh. And it's the historic litmus test. Whether it's the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons who are not in line with historic theology of Christianity are wrong, because you're not consistent with what the we is, the historic litmus test. I'll end with this. So what if somebody gives me a book or wants me to hear a podcast? or my kid goes off to college and I'm wondering what they're going to hear. Here's the affirming reception. Here's the good news. And I just want to end with this. Let's end with good news. You're from God, little children. You are from God. And God is in the business of protecting his own children. The Holy Spirit lives inside you and inside me. And the Holy Spirit has a counterfeit filter, a warning sign. Driver needs to pull over. I need to cooperate with that for sure. I need to heed the warning. But know this, that the God that is in you or in your child going to college is greater, is better than the fad of the day, than the erroneous teaching, than whatever's out there. And he, if we allow, will protect his children from ever going astray. You are from God, little children. You have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Don't ever forget that as you go out into the world to reflect Christ, as you go out into the world to make Christ unignorable. There'll be all kinds of error. That's the world. As you go out into the world, better, greater is he that is in you than he's out there. Be careful of counterfeits. With me, please. Words, Father, I pray that you would take my scattered words and the clear words of John, and that you would apply them to our hearts and lives today. Lord, I pray that anyone right now that perhaps is caught up in some kind of counterfeit, that your Spirit, even through this service, would awaken them, that would warn them. Lord, our desire is for knowing you, and the counterfeits are so prevalent. I pray that you would use your Spirit and your word to affirm our fellowship with you that is real, and that we would be representatives of a real Christ into a dark world that is longing for that knowledge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.